Well, Northwestern Ontario has a huge challenge. We need more people living here and working here. And a key part of finding those people is looking at ways of attracting newcomers and immigrants. Well, now the federal government has just announced the Rural and Northern Immigration Pilot. It's a five-year program to help bring newcomers to Northern Ontario to help with our diverse labor market needs, especially those in smaller communities too. Charles Sirtwell has been talking about this for a long time, president and CEO of Northern Policy Institute. Now his team at the Institute recently examined the population challenges here in the North, and he's in our studio. Charles Sirtwell, good morning.
Good morning.
You're a big fan of this program.
It's a good start.
It's a good start. Okay.
I would have liked something on the scale of the Atlantic pilot, but hey, in an election year, I'll take whatever we can get.
So how will it work?
So what they've done is they've basically launched a national pilot for all the provinces that don't have a special version like this. So Atlantic Canada is out, Quebec is out. So the five provinces to the west and the territories are all covered by this pilot, which is going to run for 5 years. We've got 2,750 people to divide between those five provinces and three territories. So it's not a lot of bodies.
No, it's not.
No, but again, it's a pilot. And so the goal for Northwestern Ontario is to make sure that we're selected as one of the communities that gets to use this program. Whatever allocation we're assigned, it'll probably either be some percentage of that. So probably 275 or 550 is the likely number. And then we need to put those people in spots where existing programs don't make them fit. And so in many cases, you think about all the stuff we hear about the difficulty getting truck drivers, for example, in the Northwest. Truck drivers aren't covered by any expedited entry stream. In other words, it's very hard as a truck driver to immigrate to Canada. That being said, this program will allow that to happen in an expedited way. And so we're talking moving from, you know, 3 years or 2.5 years to 2.5, 3 months kind of thing.
So it's particular fields?
Absolutely. And so it's going to be entirely structured around what are the job demands in various communities. So they're looking at what jobs the communities are not able to fill right now. So remember that debate that we always get into around all the immigrants are coming to taking our jobs, right? So the argument is that, listen, if this job has been sitting vacant in Scriber or Terrace Bay or Sioux Lookout, where they continue to have huge difficulties filling jobs, if those jobs have been vacant for a certain time, then a community can pick someone off the approved roster, someone who's been screened, to fill that particular job. And so that's one of the 2,750. The good news, of course, is their family doesn't count. So if their spouse comes with them or their kids come with them, that's one plus whatever that is.
So is there money attached to this?
So I'm sure that at some point the federal government will attach money to it. It is, after all, an election year, and so they'll be dangling out the goodies. They've been pretty vague on that kind of support. But the simple fact is, just by changing this one set of rules, just by making it easier for communities to say, you know what, we don't need a rocket scientist, we don't need a lawyer, we don't need a physicist, we need a truck driver, we need a personal support worker, we need a medical technician. You know, I understand there's equipment here in Thunder Bay that's going unused because we don't have the people who are trained to function those machines. So in that instance, just by changing that one rule, it allows us to use the existing funds we already have to much better ends and much better results.
So now, does a city or a community have to apply for this? How does that work?
So this is how it's going to be modeled. It's basically what it's targeted at, and it started targeted at a very small community. So the idea was that communities outside major urban centers, because, of course, here in Canada, just like many other countries around the world, the vast majority of immigrants go to the big cities. So, you know, Vancouver, Toronto, Edmonton, Montreal, that's where probably three-quarters go. So this was intended to be small communities. Now, one of the things that we pointed out very quickly about Northern Ontario is that, okay, Thunder Bay is not necessarily a small community, nor is Sudbury, nor is Sault Ste. Marie. But from a comparative perspective to Toronto or Vancouver or Montreal, they are very rural in that the distance to the next biggest community is quite far. And so as a result, they've expanded and they said communities of a certain size, of a certain distance away from other communities can apply. The nice thing is, for us in particular here in Northwestern Ontario, is they've also said, by the way, if you want to partner, if multiple communities want to put in a single bid, because, of course, small communities in many cases aren't going to have the resources to settle these folks, to attract these folks, to spend the money on marketing. But now Thunder Bay can partner with Greenstone, can partner with Sioux Lookout, can partner with Kenora, and collectively we can market the region.
That is fascinating how that's going
to
work.
Absolutely. And I think that plays to our strength, because on the immigration file in particular, we do work very closely together as a region. Our immigration portal is a regional platform. The Settlement Association is a regional platform. Projects that MPI has going, like Matchmaker and the soon-to-be-launched Connector program that the Planning Board is looking at, all of those are regional programs.
So who would take the lead?
So,
I mean, like, does it have to come from City Hall? I mean, the logistics, do you know much about
that? So the Federal Public Service is oddly enough a little skeptical about those of us not in Ottawa. And so what they've said is they're going to turn to economic developers. They want to make this a priority around economic growth of small communities. And so they're looking for economic development agencies to lead. So in this case, it would be something like the Thunder Bay CEDC, perhaps, or it could be one of the CFDCs. So we've got Thunder Bay Ventures here. We've got the Lake of the Woods over in Kenora area. Or it could be a collaboration of all of them. And I think that's probably the model that we're going to end up with if we deal with a regional bid.
It has to be soon, though, right? I mean, is there a March deadline on this?
So the deadline is March 1st. The good news for Northwestern Ontario is that on February 5th and 6th, the 11th annual Immigration Forum is happening here in Thunder Bay. And what I would suggest is that every community interested in doing this, every economic development agency, CFDC, what have you, who is curious about or thinking about or considering making a bid, should come to that event. Let's all get together in one room and decide what's the best way forward for Northwestern Ontario. All the experts are going to be there. MPI is going to be there to present our strategy for Northwestern Ontario. The Conference Board is coming to present a strategy that they just put together for Ontario. The University of Hearst has done one for the Francophone community. So it's going to be a great opportunity to get together, hear some suggestions from the experts about what the literature says is the best way to bring these people in and make them settle and keep them here afterwards.
That's going to be key, right?
Absolutely.
And because housing, I mean, finding affordable housing and all those things is a challenge for a lot of places here in the north.
No question about it. And of course, the challenge you have is that we not only have to attract these people, we have to put them in the jobs, we have to keep them sustained, and we can't get distracted. One of the things that I've seen over the last couple of days since this announcement was made is that there seems to be sort of an enthusiasm or excitement in the room that suggests, okay, this is going to solve all the problems. This is a very small pilot, and we can't afford to allow it to distract us from settling students, attracting international students, the existing programs, all the expedited entry for Francophones, the investment stream. There are lots of tools available. This is one of those to give us a little momentum, and then we can use it to leverage all the others.
Because you have said, I mean, Northern Policy has been part of the research that shows that we need to attract, like, is it 30,000 people in order to maintain our population levels in the next 10 years?
Throughout the entire North, we're talking 50,000 people.
50,000 people.
That's right.
And that's to maintain.
That's to maintain. That's right. So if you think about, for example, in Thunder Bay, I think the number that pops into my head is always 33. It's Sudbury's net number. Thunder Bay is actually a little bit lower than that. So that's people leaving, people coming. We're basically holding our own. We're still around the same population we were 10 years ago. That's not going to fly.
Simple as that, yeah. So that forum coming up, I mean, again, we'll go back to what you said there at the beginning. I find it so interesting when people say, oh, these newcomers are going to take our jobs. Their jobs that nobody is taking right now.
Absolutely. And the other thing we have to remember is that when these folks come in, they take jobs that others aren't interested in, they earn money, and they spend it at your local store. They spend it at the local movie theater, they get cabs, their kids come to school, all of a sudden it's possible for a school to have a hockey team or a chess club or what have you, and sustain it long term because the demand is there. This is a good thing for all of us.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
Speaking with Charles Sirtwell, President and CEO of Northern Policy Institute.